Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. It was good. We were getting pictures during the offertory and everything. It was very good. Well done. Send me those, okay? Luke chapter number 18. And let's stand if we can. Out of respect for the word, give our legs a little bit of a stretch. Luke chapter number 18. Now, and we'll be in verses 1 through 8 here this evening. Luke 18. And we'll begin in verse 1. Of course, we're continuing our series on parables. And we've been doing this for quite a while, several months here now. And so we're continuing that in Luke chapter number 18. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Luke 18, verse 1. It says there, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let's ask the Lord's blessing, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look at it and study it here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding. Father, I pray that you would help us in our prayer life, specifically in this Wednesday night prayer service, Father, to apply the truth of this parable. Very simple parable, but Lord, nonetheless, help us to apply this truth. And Lord, help us to continue fervently, earnestly in prayer. Lord, strengthen us, help us in this simple truth, yet very important truth for our Christian lives here tonight, and we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's remind ourselves what a parable is. We've said it a bunch of times. Let's say it nice and strong. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Very good. And that's what a parable is, okay? They're illustrations that prove heavenly truth. And tonight's no exception to that at all. Very simple parables. Some of the parables we've looked at have been very long. Last week was just a few verses. This week is only about seven or so. But nonetheless, a very important, very meaty parable. As we have with each one of these, we'll break it down into the setting of the parable, then the explanation, and then finally the application. First off, the setting of the parable. Number one, when was this parable given? Well, in Luke chapter number 17, verse 20 through 37, we don't have the time to go through all of that, but let me real quick in summary say this. Jesus is going and he's talking about when he'll return. And he's talking about how he's going to come back, how things are going to get worse before they get better, so to speak, and how he is going to return later on. It's talking about the end times. So when was it given? It's talking about the end times, and that's kind of the same setting that this parable is given as well in Luke chapter number 18. Number two, who is it given to? In verse number one, we only see unto them. Well, who's to them? Well, if you look back at verse number 22, it makes it very clear. And he said unto what? The disciples, right? In verse number 22 of chapter 17. So clearly, the parable was given to the disciples. It was given during a time when he's talking about prophecy. We'll consider those in just a second. Number three, why was it given? Verse number one of chapter 18 makes it very clear. Tell the person next to you why this parable was given. It's super obvious, okay? Look at verse one. Tell somebody nearby why this parable was given. Go. Why was it given? It's simple. Why was it given, folks? Go ahead. I want to hear you.
Teach them to pray.
Teach people to pray, and number two, what?
Not to faint.
And not to faint. Good. To teach people to pray, number one. Number two, to teach people not to faint. Okay? So, let's consider what these two phrases mean. First off, what does always praying mean? Tell the person next to you what you believe to always pray. pray means. Not just pray. Obviously, we know what pray means. But to always pray. Okay? Tell somebody next to you. Go. What does it mean to always pray? What do we think? What does it mean to always pray? Obviously, it doesn't mean that we're like going to be monks, right? We're going to sit and just pray every second of our lives, right? Are we all clear on that? Yeah, that's not what it's saying, okay? That I can't do anything else. I'm sitting here, or whatever. That's not what it's talking about. So what does it mean? Let's get some feedback from you guys. What does it mean to always pray? What do you think?
To have a daily conversation with God.
Okay, that was good. Several. What, Malcolm, what was yours?
A daily conversation with God.
Daily conversation. Okay. Yeah.
Spirit of prayer.
Sure. Anyone else?
You need to be consistent.
Consistent. Good.
Keep a good relationship.
Good relationship. Sure. Anyone else? What does it mean to always pray?
Don't pray when the time's hard.
Good. Good. Very good. How will I summarize that? She said, by the way, for those of you that are on live stream, she said, don't just pray when the times are hard. And that's very good. All situations, we can say. Right? I think all of these are very good. The idea of it, it's actually a very interesting, interesting word. When that word always is from a Greek word, okay? It's I'm not going to give you the Greek. It's not important, okay? My Greek teacher in college, he said, Greek should be like underwear. You should always have them, but they shouldn't be showing. And so I'm not going to give you that, okay? But here's the idea, okay? It has the idea of every when. That's what it means, literally. It's a compound word, every when. Here's what it's saying. It's saying in every situation, at every moment, you should be able to and be ready to and be consistently communing with God. Does that make sense? You understand that there's obviously times where we go and we set apart and we specifically spend time in prayer. Yes? Tonight on Wednesdays, we go and we specifically set time apart in prayer. You and I should have a regular time where we set apart in prayer. Correct? Where, you know, I go and each evening I go and I pray through our prayer requests and I pray through everything going on in the church and I have a specific list that I go and I pray through. Those are all fine and good. But you also understand that you and I should be talking and communing with God regularly beyond that. Correct?
Amen.
If you only pray before meals, if you only pray when you're in church, if you only pray in those times, you are not fulfilling this command that you should always pray. By the way, this command shows up a lot of times. 1 Thessalonians 4, for example, pray without ceasing. That's the idea, okay? That in every situation, not just the bad ones, not just the good ones, you are constantly and consistently going before God. You're constantly talking to the Lord. He's your friend. He should be, so you should regularly be praying. Does that make sense? That we should always pray. What's the second one? And that we should what? Not faint. So explain to somebody near you what that means. What does it mean to not faint? Go. Specifically when we're talking about prayer. What does it mean not to faint?
Don't give up.
Good. Don't give up. What else? Good. You guys are going too fast. I'm just kidding. This is good. Don't be weary. Be consistent. Is that what you said, Josh?
Persistent.
Wow, that's really bad handwriting, but yeah. Okay, anyone else? What does it mean not to faint? These are all good. There are actually three definitions, I guess you could say, of the word not to faint, okay? Three of them that I have in the handout. Number one, to be weak, okay? When you faint, that's part of what it is, right? How many of you have ever fainted? You passed out at some point in your life. Good. How many of you have never fainted in your life? You've never passed out? Amen, praise the Lord. You guys are strong people, okay? I remember one time I remember passing out, only once. I was going and I had been kind of sick. I was felt like I was getting better, and I was a teenager or so, and I remember it was after Sunday night church, and we'd always like go and do leftovers. Sunday night was leftover night. And so we went out into the living room, and into the kitchen, and we went and we're getting food ready, and I sat there, and then all of a sudden I just whoosh, wiped out, cracked my head against the floor. It was bad. I did not feel good. Okay? That's the idea. I was weak because of everything else, and because of that, I fainted. Okay? So number one, to be weak. Number two, the definition of the actual word that that Jesus uses here, number two, is to, quote, fail in heart. What that means is it's less, that's referring less to a physical reaction of fainting and more of a mental internal fainting. Does that make sense? In your heart, you just don't have any strength to continue on. Okay? Number third definition, which would make a little bit more sense to us, is to be discouraged. Okay? To be discouraged. Here's what he's saying. Okay? Here's what Jesus is saying, nice and simply. Okay? The setting for the parable. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm giving this parable so that people continue praying, one, and two, that they don't get discouraged and quit. That's the point of the parable. Am I making sense? Okay, so that's the point of the parable. So number one, the setting of the parable. Number two, let's look at the explanation of the parable. What does this parable actually mean? Let's break it down, if we can, into the different characters. Look at it, chapter number 18 and verse number 2. Saying, this is a parable, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So, folks, is the judge a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad guy.
Judge is not a good guy. Okay? Number two, look at verse number three. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So, number one, you have an evil judge. The judge is very clearly evil. He's very wicked. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about the people that he is trying to support and help. Perhaps some people have believed maybe this is some kind of Roman provisional governor, like a Pilate or something like that. Here, clearly, later on, when you hear the story of Pilate, Pilate really cared about his own skin. He was willing to kill Jesus so that people didn't get mad at him. Perhaps that's the idea. We don't really know. But nice and simply, this man is wicked. Now, we're talking about the explanation. Let's think through this, okay? Is the judge supposed to represent God? I want you to talk to someone sitting around you and tell someone sitting around you, is the judge supposed to represent God? Is the judge the picture of God? Remember when we looked at the prodigal son, right? The father was kind of the picture of God. Is the judge in this story the picture of God? Tell the person next to you, go. Is the judge supposed to be a representative of God? Yes or no? Erase this because I'm going to use it again here in a second. What do you guys think? Yes or no? How many of you say, yes, the judge is a representative of God? Raise your hand. How many of you say, no, the judge is not a representative of God? Good, good. It's clearly not, right? It's not. Why? Why is he not? Talk to me. Why is the judge not the illustration of God in this story?
He didn't care about the people.
Because he didn't care about the people, right? Because he doesn't fear God, okay? Because he's a wicked judge. Here's the illustration, okay? Here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus basically is saying, okay, let's go to the extreme, okay? It's a good way to kind of deal with people sometimes, okay? For example, the other day I was going and I was trying to talk to somebody. I can't remember what it was about, but I was trying to talk to somebody. And I went, well, let's just assume you're right. If that's the case, then this is what that'll mean. Does that make sense? That's almost what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, okay, let's just assume that there was a person that didn't care at all about you, didn't care at all about God. Let's take the worst possible reality and let's apply that. Here's what he's saying. He's saying there's a judge, hates God, hates people, doesn't care about anybody but himself, right? If God was that way, which he's clearly not, if God was that way, then wouldn't consistent prayer still be a good thing? That's what he's saying. Am I making sense? He's saying, hey, if God didn't care about you at all, which obviously he does, but if he didn't care about you at all, then it would still be beneficial to consistently pray. Okay? So number one, the evil judge. Josh, question?
Is it kind of similar to when it talks about, you know, if the Lord you cares about the birds and the animals, how much more?
Yes, kind of like that.
So like, it's not a picture of God, but the worst of us is if they're going to, you know, avenger, how much more will God avenge?
Yes, exactly. And that's a good understanding. For those of you who live stream perhaps didn't hear that, Josh was saying, is it kind of like how the Lord said, how much more value are you than sparrows, or how much more value are you than plants, things along that line. So yeah, that's a very good way of thinking. Number one, the evil judge. Number two, the needy, wronged widow. Okay, so there's a widow here, okay? Obviously, we know in the Bible context, widows did not have much. They were poor, they were destitute, they didn't really have a lot of rights, they certainly didn't have the ability to take care of themselves, and unfortunately, in the Bible context, not because of the law, but because of the wickedness of people, they were often wronged. And this widow seems to be wrong. In verse number 3, you see this. It says, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, we don't know what this person did to this widow. Perhaps this was a person that maybe killed her husband or something like that. Okay, and she's petitioning to go and take care of that. Perhaps it's just some financial adversary that's gone against her and then tried to take what belonged of her. We don't really know, but clearly she had a need, correct? This widow has some kind of need that this adversary is going against. Number one, her need. Number two, I see in this passage, her struggle. She needed someone to do something that she couldn't fix. Avenge me of my adversary. Nice and simply, the widow couldn't fix it. She needed the judge to fix it. Am I making sense? Much like when we pray, correct? When we pray, we're going to God saying, God, we can't change this. God, we need you to change this. Okay? In our prayer sheet that we'll look at in just a second, all of these prayer requests are us saying, God, we need you to do something because we can't do it. Right? So number one, her need. Number two, her struggle. Number three, her delay. Verse number 4. And he would not for a while. Okay? So the judge, for whatever reason, decides not to do her request. Perhaps he goes and says, oh, well, she's just a widow. She doesn't really care too much. Or she doesn't matter too much for my reelection campaign or whatever. Right? It's not a big deal. It's not that important. Okay? So, number one, we have the evil judge. Number two, we have the wronged widow. Number three, I see in this passage, we have her solution. Verse 4 and 5. And this is just going through very simply. Verse number 4. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, what? Troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. That word weary me is very interesting, okay? The word weary me actually literally means punch in the eye. Okay? Here's the picture. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, this woman, I don't care about her. I don't care about God. I don't care about anything but myself. Right? But this woman keeps coming to me with this request. So I'm gonna take care of it because it's almost like she's punching me in the eye every time. Right? It's getting worse and worse every single time she's asking. Okay? So I'd much rather just answer and just take care of it so she stops bothering me. Okay? Okay? Number four, our reality. Let's kind of get it to us. Okay? Explain it specifically to us. Verse number 6-8. Look at it. Verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He's saying, hey, pay attention to what this guy just said. Okay? What is that? What we saw in verse number 5. Okay? Because she's constantly coming, then I'm going to answer. Verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Okay? So, our reality, number one, God's relationship with us. We are his elect. Okay? That word elect means chosen. The ones that he specifically chose for us. Okay? Let's use the illustration. Okay? I chose Becky out of the 3 billion women on the world, okay, to marry me. Yes? 3 billion people I could have picked. I picked Becky. She was the one that I chose. She's the one that I love. I care for her. He's using the contrast. If the unjust judge would go and would listen to somebody he doesn't care for, that can't help him, that won't do anything but just beg him for something, certainly God, who chose us, who loves us, who cares for us, will listen to us. Right? A relationship with God. Number two, I see God's reaction to us. Okay? He will avenge them speedily. Nice and simply, God will answer if we come to him and we continue to come to him, even though he might delay. By the way, let me just say real quick, verse number 7, it does say sometimes God does delay. You ever have a prayer request that you've been praying for a while and God just delays answering it? God does sometimes delay. Verse 7, it says it there at the end of verse 7, though he bear long with them. Sometimes God delays, but we should keep praying. Number 3, I see in the explanation God's question for us. This is how he closes it, verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, remember that was the context of chapter 17, the Lord's returning. Okay, this is why he's going into it. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Here's what he's saying. Will people keep praying? Will people keep seeking God? Okay, so, say explanation. Now let's make it applicable to us. What do we do with it? Now, very simple parable, okay? As a matter of fact, you could probably go and you can be like, well, this is the point of the parable, obviously. Keep praying, right? Duh. You say, duh, preacher. We don't even have to go into this. That's the point of the parable. Keep praying, okay? Well, that's true. Let's look at it, though. A few other details that we can focus on. And I dropped my marker. Okay? Number one. Consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. That's very clear. Verse number 1 says it, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Consistently pray. If you need something, you should be praying for it. Nice and simply, if you need God to work in your life, then you need to be praying for it. I love what James says. You have not. Why?
Because you ask not.
A lot of times, we go and we wonder why God doesn't meet our needs when we just don't pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. It's not a complex thing. Jesus himself said to the disciples, up to this point, hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask. Pray about it. Okay? If you need something, don't be the widow that sits at home saying, oh man, I wish someone would avenge me and my adversary, but you know, it's not a big deal. No, ask! Ask! Number one, if you need it, pray for it. Number two, if you haven't gotten it yet, keep praying for it. Isn't that the point of it? Verse number 6, you see it there. Verse number 6, hear what the unjust judge says. She kept asking, verses 4 and 5, and because of that, God heard and God answered. If you haven't gotten the answer yet, keep praying. Keep praying. Now, I am not in any way saying that that everything that we pray for is always God's will, right? You would agree that some things are not God's will, right? If I go and I pray for $1 million tomorrow, that's probably not God's plan for my life, okay? Okay, I can keep praying for it, but that may not be God's plan for my life. But there are certain things that we know are God's will, correct? Seeing people saved is God's will. Yes? So there's no question. If you have an unsaved family member, an unsaved friend, keep praying for them. It is God's will for them to be saved. Don't stop. Don't quit. Be specific in how you pray, but don't quit. Don't stop. Okay? There are certain things we know is God's plan. Having victory over sin, we know that's God's will. So don't stop praying for it. If you're struggling with something, keep praying. Keep seeking God. Having a good relationship with God. Keep seeking it. Am I making sense here? Obviously, there are some things that are outside of God's will. There's some things we just don't know if they're God's will. Keep praying, keep seeking it. Eventually, God will reveal if it's his will or not. Okay? And we'll talk about that more on Sunday morning, okay? But I don't want to combine both of them, okay? Okay? But keep praying. Keep seeking God. Number one, consistent prayer. Number two, consistent faith. Look at verse number 8 again. This is how Jesus ties it up. He says it this way. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. Does he say, shall he find prayer on the earth? No, he says, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. Why does he say faith instead of prayer? The whole parable was about prayer, wasn't it? Correct? The whole parable is about prayer. Why does Jesus say, shall he find faith on the earth? You know why? Because the reason why we stop praying is because we stop believing. We stop trusting. Right? The reason why we stop asking God to work in a given situation, in a given problem, in a given need, is because we lose faith, we stop trusting, and therefore we stop praying. That's what happens. Truth. That's what happens. Well, God, I mean, I don't know if God can do this. I've been praying for this for ages. Preach, I've been praying for this thing for years, perhaps. Can God really do it? Yes, God can do it. Is God going to find faith on the earth when he returns? Is he going to find you still trusting? Remember, friends, our whole Christian life is about faith. Trust him. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Constant faith. Keep trusting God. Don't stop trusting God's love. You are his elect, his chosen. He loves you. He cares for you. Don't stop trusting God's ability. He will avenge. He will work in the areas that you need. Keep trusting God. Have consistent faith and trust him, trust him, trust him. Don't lose the trust. Don't think God can't answer. Don't think God won't answer. Trust him. You have a prayer request you need God to work in? Trust him. The reality is, if you don't ask in faith, Jesus himself says, you will not receive. Sometimes the reason why we don't get what we've been praying for a long time is because we really don't believe that God can do it. We really think that God can't accomplish it. We think God can't save our loved one. We think that God can't help us in these areas. We think that God can't raise the sick. I'm not saying that in every situation it's God's will to raise those that are sick. I'm not thinking that in every situation on this prayer sheet that it's God's will to do what we say. But I am saying this nice and simply. If we continue to pray, then God should be answering. If God's not answering, then there's something wrong. Either we're not trusting or we're not praying. That's the point of the parable. Number three, consistent encouragement. Verse number one again, where we started this whole thing is where we're going to wrap it up. Verse number one. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. Not to faint. Can I tell you, friend, if you've been discouraged about your prayer life, feel like you keep praying for the same exact request and it just feels like God won't answer, you're burdened about it, you're praying about it, you're seeking God about it, listen, if an unjust judge would go and help a widow that he doesn't care about, then certainly God can help you. And he will help you. He will work in the situation. Trust him. Be encouraged by that. Seek him. Have a newfound faith and a newfound boldness. When you go before the throne of grace, have a newfound boldness. I love what Hebrews says, that we can come to the throne of grace boldly to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Come boldly with faith, knowing that God can and will work. Trust him. Don't give excuses why God won't work. Don't give excuses why he couldn't work. Go and trust him and seek him. Not fainting in your heart, but trusting in your heart, knowing that he's at work. That's the parable of the persistent widow. Very simple parable, very short parable, but nonetheless very important parable when we consider especially prayer. So let me encourage you right now. In just a second, we're going to go into our prayer time. When we go into it, pray and pray with that attitude. Don't just repeat words. Repeating words do little. Okay? God knows all these prayer requests. Many of them we've listed quite a few times. God knows these prayer requests. It's not rehearsing. It's you asking and petitioning God. It's you coming to the throne of grace and saying, God, I need you to work. It's you trusting that God can and will work. It's you seeking him. That's what prayer is, friends. It's not just rehearsing, regurgitating facts. It's going and petitioning and begging God, like the widow that needs help, going to God and saying, God, I need your help. Don't lose that. Keep doing that. Keep seeking God. And when we do, we'll find that God answers, that God works. That's the point of the parable. Right now, here's what we're going to do, as we often do on Wednesday. We're going to give just a moment for us to get our hearts settled. Maybe you have a prayer request you've been praying for a long time, and you've kind of gotten discouraged. You stopped praying for it. It's dropped off your prayer list. Maybe it's just prayer in general. It just hasn't been the priority in your life that it should be. You can find yourself skipping a few days. The only prayers you have are at lunch or dinner, or you're right before bed, something small, something minor. You're not praying always, and you're fainting in your prayer life. Listen, friend, right now, based on this parable, start trusting God. Start seeking God and say, God, prayer is going to be important to me. Prayer is going to change. Right now, in the quietness of this time, seek his face, then we'll go into our prayer time, okay? I'll close in prayer in just about 30 seconds or so. Let's all bow our heads. Let's seek God. Let's get settled what needs to get settled right now. Father, we thank you for this parable. We thank you for your word, as always, that always gives us what we need for every moment, every situation in our lives. Father, I know that there are many in this room right now that have prayed for certain requests for quite some time. Lord, people that have prayed for unsaved loved ones, family members, to receive you. Lord, people that have prayed for the sick and the infirm to receive healing. Lord, for unspoken requests for those that are far away from the Lord and those that have been drifting. Father, so many needs, so many burdens. Father, I pray that this very simple parable would give encouragement and strength to lives that are beginning to question, is it worth it? Lives that are beginning to doubt the efficacy of prayer in their lives. Lord, strengthen each and every one of us to realize that when we pray, we are seeking Almighty, Holy, powerful God. A God that loves us, that cares for us, that wants what's best for us. A God that wants to avenge. A God that wants to work. A God that wants to heal. God, I pray that you would help us to have this level of, in Mark, importunity, this continuous seeking of you, this continuous knocking, this continuous seeking your face, this constant bringing our requests before you with boldness and faith, Lord, so that you can and will answer. Father, change our prayer lives, motivate our prayer lives. Motivate us to seek you with a newfound boldness and a newfound strength. Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to accomplish in these areas. Lord, continue to help us to live this way, to pray always, and to pray without fainting. And we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things.